part number 5 on if God decides to help a man, and today is a special day for women. So when God decides to help a woman, say amen. When God decides to help a woman, and even though when we say a man, it is not male man, but man who is a spirit. Say amen. So when we say also for a woman, we also mean the same thing. So we want to read the scriptures in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 4. There is a story there, and I want you to see how God, when God decides to help a woman. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Say amen. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Say amen. Sometimes when you say you don't have anything, you always have something. Yes. So I don't have anything in the house, but there is something. And I thank God that when he decides to help you, you don't have to have a lot for him to help you. Amen. The little that you have, my God can multiply that little, and he can mesmerize your life and those who are trying to laugh at you because you have nothing. Because this woman, whose husband feared the Lord, was dead, and this widow was owing a lot of people, and the sons were going to be taken as bondmen. In other words, they were going to be taken as slaves. So she cried unto the man of God, and the man of God asked her, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? What do you have? Ask somebody, what do you have in the house? Because by all means, you have something. You have something. It is a deception when you say that, I don't have anything. You have something. You have something that God can leverage on. You have something that can serve as a conduit. You have something that God can use as a connector to your miracle. Yes. You have something. If you don't have anything at all, you have your faith in God. What you have may not be physical, but what you have may be spiritual. And God can use your faith in him and use it to give you a miracle. When God decides to help you, he will use anything to bring you that help. And this week, I am talking to a woman who is in debt. I'm talking to a woman who is in need. You have lost your husband, or your husband has left you, and there are issues in the house, issues with your children, issues with your finances, issues with your work and everything. And I have come to tell that there is help for you this morning. There is help for you. Elisha said to the woman, go borrow vessels. Go borrow vessels, and borrow not a few. Borrow. And that little oil, that little faith, that little money, that little thing that you have, I, the Lord, will multiply it. That little. It could be just 50 cedis. It could be 100 cedis. It could be just a saucepan that you want to start frying yam. And that yam, you know, there will be queues. There's a certain woman in Kokomeme. I don't know how we call her. We call her. She has a girl name. And the work that this woman does, the only work she does, is to fry kelewele in the night starting from 5 p.m. That is all she does. And when she comes to set up the kelewele to whatever, to sell, there is already a queue. I have never seen anywhere that the queue for kelewele in Kokomele. Kelewele. Because of the way she spiced the plantain. And she has the plantain seated in bowls, already sliced and mixed with all the ginger, all the whatever. And she has 1, 2, 3 saucepans as she fries the kelewele. And the kelewele, the nibwe, ding! But that is a queue. The wedding. And I soften a boom. And I catch a little bit of a wound that into a mouth later. No, the catch an eye then. But I just, you know, what person or children very nicely. And then we buy 2 or 3 or 4. You see people coming to buy. And it's from 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. And all the gagba of killing of the plantain, everything will be finished. And as they are churning and trying this one, then they are doing this one too. Then another person has, I think, 2 or 3 daughters. Then they are turning. They turn it, and then we are buying. And when the kelewele pours a big saucepan, I don't know why she doesn't use. She uses her hands, and their hands are burning. But she will fold it for you. You now, when you go with the kelewele, it's called warabeba. She has used the kelewele to look after her children. So something may be very small, but God can put his spirit. God can put his favor. God can give you expression. Never say, I don't have anything. And never wish you were another woman. Thank God that you are you, and God can find you a space in this world for you to also succeed like others. Seeth a woman diligent with her work, diligent with her work, she will also stand before kings. There are watches sellers who have built 4 houses. Watches sellers who have built 4 houses. They are still selling. It's out here. It's called Fulera. We all go there. There are some of the clearly. Two of the food we are buying, we ourselves, we can tell that there are demons in the things we are going to buy. But because of sanctification, you know, we buy and we sanctify and we eat. We can tell that there are demons in this thing we are buying. Not fully real, I'm talking about other people. Before somebody goes to tell them. Sadisco, my step aside, we used to live in Kokomele. There's a place called Sadisco. In front of Sadisco is a woman who sells rice and stew. You have never tasted rice with chicken stew and meat. It's chicken and meat. And this woman, when she comes, and she sets up at about 7 p.m. Yes, in the evening. She doesn't come early. And before she comes, there's a queue. And then, you know, as usual, they will sprinkle some of the rice around. They will repeat some words. They will repeat words. We know that they are invoking spirits. But we will still buy. So ask somebody, what do you have? It means that you have no business becoming a jobless woman. Becoming dependent on a man. You don't need a man to succeed. You, if you're a woman, you don't need a man to make it. Whether you are a widow, a single mother, whether you are born one, born two, whether your husband has run away, your husband running away does not make you poor. Stop saying that I don't have a husband and I don't have whatever and I don't have a... You have something that God can leverage on to make you a wealthy woman. There are women... Hallelujah. Should I preach? I feel like preaching. There are women who don't have classmates. Meanwhile, they have two counting machines. $1, one CD counting. But you went to school, university, went to Harvard. What do you have? How do you count your money? There are women who don't have classmates who are very rich. There is a woman, that woman, she never went to school. A bullion van is always waiting for her at 6 p.m. to collect her money to the bank. Do that? Bullion van. Collect. The workers in the bank who have gone to school, they come to the market and collect this woman's money and arranges them and count them, and then they accompany the bullion van to the bank. And when for 2 days her money is not collected, you see the bank shaking because her money carry a lot of weight. She has no classmates. You have classmates, course mates, PhD mates, whatever mate. You don't have any counting machine because your money, no, is small. Am I in church? I've gone somewhere. So I have come to talk to women who are lazying around looking for a man. For young girls looking for a man to sleep with them so that they can buy you a car. You can buy your car yourself. You don't need a married woman to buy you a car. You don't need a married man to buy you a car. Young girl, you don't need a married man to buy. You don't need to go and service married men to buy a belt and a wig and shoes. You can work and buy your belt yourself. You don't have to go and offer sexual favors to any married man to be able to buy yourself a wig. You can buy a wig all by yourself. So that respect, Kakrabe Baumu. Say, I hear you. What do you have? That little small pot of oil, God can multiply it. That little capital can be multiplied. Yesterday, I was coming from Mankesim. When we got to Budumbura, Chaba, I was shocked at Budumbura early in the morning. I was shocked. I've never seen anything like this. A whole stretch, like from here to Wisconsin, women on the street. On the left and on the right, Chaba, they are selling anything you can think of. The only thing I didn't sell, I didn't see, was a coffin. That's the only thing I didn't see. These women, because we left very early in the morning, and we came, when we got to Budumbura, there was traffic jam. So I was also, I was asking, why did I get traffic? No, the market. And they were selling everything you can think of. Clothes, shoes, bags, nyajua, banche, pepe, onions, and one person can be selling 3 items. Women are very powerful. They've taken over the streets. They are selling onions. And my point is that, when did they wake up? When did they arrive there? Where did they come from? How were they able to arrange the things on the left and on the right? They've taken over the road on the left and right. So a lazy woman lying down waiting to go and have sex with a married man for you to be able to buy a belt. Why you rakra? Why you rakra? You are lazy. Say amen. God will bless the work of your hands. God will bless the work of your hands. There are women who were selling onions on the sack. Today, they own warehouses. There are women who were selling onions on a sack. On the floor. Onions. Small onions. Today, they own businesses and warehouses. And when they are calling for prestige banking, bankers, those who are prestige, when big men appear, these women also appear as prestige banking customers. Prestige. They're also invited. After selling onions on the sack, now they are classified as prestige bankers. They give them coffee and tea to drink whenever they appear at the bank. They are given VVIP treatment. They were selling onions on the floor. On a sack. Onions. Am I talking to my members? I see you rising up between now and 31st of December. Look at what you have. Look at what you have. The little you have, God is about to bless it and multiply it and increase it and make you a mega blessing. The little you have, I have nothing but a small pot, a vessel of oil. He said, go borrow vessels, shut the door, and pour the oil. And the oil was full. The Bible said the oil stayed. And he said to them, my vessels are filled. He said, are they all? He said, go sell. That's the word. Go sell. It means do business with it. Go sell the oil and pay your creditors and live off the rest. It means I am introducing you to the buying and the selling business. Bujumbura, the long stretch. I've never seen anything like that. Women, the only thing I didn't see was the sale of a coffin. Coffin and a car. I didn't see cars. But they were selling everything. They were selling shoes. They were selling bags. They were selling yadua. They were selling kako. They were selling cassava. They were selling everybody was selling something. Everybody was selling something. One day I went to Medina Market during the time we were missions. I went to Medina Market and they were selling everywhere. And the woman, this is my church member, she said, Reverend, it will surprise you. Everybody will make sales. Everybody will have what they will eat. And when I see the places where the women were selling, you can be coming like this. And then by the corner, you see a woman with a small table with about 5 pieces of tomatoes on a small pan. They said she will make sales. She will make sales. It means that the Lord God is rich unto all who call upon him. So those of you who are very nice, God has given you a nice body. You don't want to go and work. You don't want to go and labor. You want to just go out with men so you can get money. No. Change your profession. Change your profession. And work with your hands. Yesterday we were presented with different kinds of natural spices that we can buy at a discount of 80 cedis or 100 cedis for our mothers. Spices. Spices. Nicely packaged. Spices. Well labeled. Do you have the spices here? Do you have the spices here? Give me some of the label. I'll show you to the. I want to promote it so that I can get some percentage. Because when I promote, you see, guys, I'm an influencer. So bring me your product. Let me market for you. And then you give me what? A percentage. I'm trading with my gifts. 50, yeah. Please, use me for marketing purposes. I'm an influencer. My voices go very far. When, you see the message I'm preaching here? Within 1 week, views, 60,000, 20,000 views. So when I market, these are the spices. Well packaged, well labeled. We have chicken, we have pepper. We have kelewele. You don't have to go and mix. You don't have to go and mix kelewele or whatever. It's already been done for you. This is that. Where is Mrs. Maglo? Please come and stand by me so that people will know who I'm talking about. Come here. Yes. Yes. These are her product. And guess what? Her product goes to Nigeria. The product goes to Ivory Coast. Already packaged. This is homemade. This is done here. Natural. Natural. Stop using those artificial things in your food. They are cancerous. Use spices, cinnamon, pepper, whatever. Packaged from Ghana, labeled. That's it. And this is like what? 100 Ghana cedis. There are 8 items in it. And it is only 100 Ghana. Buy it for your grandmother as a gift. Lazy men who are not working, please. I am on you. Lazy men who are dependent upon women to take care of them. I can't stand a man who is lazy. A man must work. Look, I work. I market. Did you see my market? That you saw my market yesterday? Mankese market. Mankese market. I buy tomatoes. I buy onions. I buy nyajua. I buy things and I cook. I know how to. Tell me the dish you want me to teach you how to cook right now. You mentioned the dish. I'll tell you how to start it. When I start it, but you know that I'm cooking. I can start it on phone, on a microphone. Yes. My wife is a testimony. I'm not a lazy man. I'm a very busy man. I'm preaching. I travel around the world. I still go to the kitchen. I cook. I do palava sauce. I do garden eggs. I do that. And when I cook, it is my food that is eating the house. The chef packs his own food. The chef packs his food. Because the way I will spice the food, moko wom. Oh, my God. Moko wom. When my chef, when they cook, I see they are going to give it to a sick person. Be shwinim. I mean, I tell my chef, which school did you? Who taught you how to cook? Come to proper cooking school. One day, hold it. Come here. One day I was cooking. This guy, you come here. This guy was in my house, and I was cooking. When I was cooking, what did you say? He said, "Pastor, you can't cook." I was doing 4 dishes at the same time. 4 dishes. And this guy was the one helping me. He said, "Pastor, you can't cook." Anyone said, me preaching now, between you and you, and I'm not a lazy man at all. I fire all lazy men who are not working, who cannot cook. A lazy man who can't cook. Waiting for the wife to arrive from work to come and go to the kitchen. I don't wait. My wife knows. I don't wait. When they don't want me in the kitchen. You see them sucking me. You see them sucking me. I said, "Why are you sucking me from my own kitchen?" The fact that I'm cooking, it annoys them. It's like, can't we do that? Pastor has to go to the kitchen to cook. Then my wife will say, "Hey, my chef, leave my husband. He's been cooking even before we got married." Yeah. Spices, 100 cedis. Yes. So it is here. If you have 100, come and put it down. And in fact, make it 120 so that the 20 is more than the 100. I'm an influencer, I've told you. Say hallelujah. She said, go sell and live off the profits and pay your whatever. It means that selling is in the Bible. Sell something. And you see that when God decides to help you, God will help you to make it in life. Say, I receive it, Pastor. In the book of 1 Kings chapter number 17, we are told of a great famine that took place in Israel. And the Bible said in the verse number 8, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. A very beautiful principle that if you want God to help you, you must first invest in God. Yes. There is a principle about the kingdom of God, K2, and the principle is that if you give to God, he will give to you. And not only will he give to you, he will give to you pressed down, shaking together, and what? Running over. So anytime as a child of God, you have an opportunity to give to God, then know that multiplication is coming your way. God is not interested in taking from you. But for him to fulfill the principle, you must give to him first. Say, give to God first. Peter never had overflow of fishes until he gave his boat. If Peter had refused to give Jesus the boat, Peter would have remained poor. But he gave the boat, and the boat came back multiplied. Amen. Hannah gave her only son to the kingdom, and the multiplication came back with 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Show me in the Bible right now, if you can, so that you can disprove me. Show me in the Bible anybody who gave to God and received nothing. Show me the Bible. Anybody. Even God, when he gave his only begotten son, is the reason why we are all seated here today. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. And today we are here. Say amen. Are you there? So, the prophet said, you are in crisis as a woman. You are in need. You are about to die. You are about to perish. God has sent me here to sustain you. So, in the literal translation, what should be that? If the prophet has got it, the prophet should be the one sustaining the woman. But you see, the woman had to fulfill the condition condition precedent, she had to fulfill a certain righteousness by giving first to God, to the kingdom, to the work. And I'm glad she did. I am glad she did, because when she did it and finished the cooking, I'm sure the son was not too comfortable with what the mother was about to do. But the woman went ahead and gave the first, the last meal to God, to the kingdom, to the man of God. When she came back, the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal multiplied. And the Bible said, and he lived off it many days, and she and the family lived on what God had blessed them with, because she gave. Anytime there is an opportunity for you to give to the work of God, do not hesitate, especially if you have it. Do it and do it again. Keto, my life has been blessed all these years because of giving. Because of giving. My life has been blessed. I'm not a businessman. I don't know. Maybe a lot of my friends do business. People have set up companies, organizations. I haven't got any business. I'm a preacher. I preach and I give to God's work. I give to people. I give to needy. I give. I support. I labor for somebody to receive. I labor. I work hard. I create the opportunity for people to receive help. I give the help myself. In fact, I give the help so that my wife now controls the checkbook, controls Momo, controls everything. He said, let the people come and ask me. And then I would interview them, because some of them are taking advantage of you. Yeah. Some of my cousins are weed smokers. And I know the money they are coming to collect, they are going to drink weed with it. When I go and get that, okay, actually we shouldn't come and have a homoe. I tell them, I don't lie. I say, it's calling me, I go, oh, okay, actually we. She, oh, so no, you be a oh, he must come, okay, actually we. Oh, yeah, bonyo, no, okay, actually we. I know they are smoking weed. It is nonsense for you to be hungry and still smoking weed. Demons are working in you. Say amen. Yeah. Be a giver. Tell somebody, be a giver. Be a giver. Be a giver. Be somebody who is. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Cast thy bread upon thy waters, and you will find it after many days. Yesterday, the Lifeline people had a breakfast meeting. In the breakfast meeting, I was messed by just about, how many were they, 100? Yes, about 100 people. Within seconds, they have contributed 207,000 Ghana cedis already, with some few dollars, ready for our crusade. And then the president and the vice, they brought their pledge card. You know what they said? I was very impressed with what they said. And I want to be there. I want to be saying that one day. They said the pledge card is blank. It's a blank check. Whatever it's going to cost for them to take care of sick people and buy medicine and poor wheelchairs, they are ready to fill in the blank spaces. How can you ever be poor? How can they ever be poor when you have given God a blank check? There was no figure on it. They came and said the check, the card is blank. Whatever amount is left, we shall provide it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I told my wife, that is my next level. That is my next level. I told my wife, that is my next level. Any amount. And yesterday, the meeting had live breakfast, and they top it up with wache. Oh my God, soft wache with pepper, with talia, spicy pepper,
with Talia and Gary. Oh my God. I ate it right there and carried some home. My wife, this morning, what did I eat before coming here?
You ate the remaining wachi.
So this morning, as I'm standing here, there's wachi that is working. Wachi is working. My energy is not qua. My energy is wachi in the morning. Serving something, I say, bring the leftover wachi from yesterday. And they microwave it. I've eaten wachi with fish, with talia. Oh my God. It has given me energy. It's the best food in there. Anybody who's not wachi, is not eating wachi, has missed half of his life. It is the only food we shall be eating in heaven. Because the only meal they will be serving is wachi and talia with gari, with fish, with egg, with stew. Oh my God. Into mo physical beto spicy no. Mo physical bra. Na min tuaka. Ke to we sikeni fa bibi bra. Me to. Spice o. Ne ba here. Ah, afena. For big 100, no, we are 120. Okay, so this 20 is mine. Madam, come and collect your money. Yeah. Thank you very much. So that's my profit from the watch. I'm going to give it as my second offering. It's my first fruit of doing business. The profit of the first fruit, I have to give it to the Lord. She has also given hers. Hey. She's following the protocol. You have. Oh my God. See, amen. The Bible said in the book of Mark chapter 14. 3-9. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. 3. And be in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. And very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment? For it had been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She has done that which she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body for the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of her, of for a memorial of her. Say amen. A very interesting story. Almost all the writers of the gospel narrated it. Everybody narrated it differently. And I like the narration of Luke 7, verse 36. It's the same thing, Luke 7, 36. Luke looked at it differently. The verse 36, what does it say? Okay. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he will eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more or love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, This thus has rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of the head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, both not cease to kiss my feet. My head with oil did not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto them, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Say amen. There is nothing more devastating than to be walking around with the weight of this guilt of sins on your head. It's very, very depressing when you know that you have committed sins. You have stolen, you have done this, or whatever, and you are, and the weight of your sin is heavy on you. And you know that the wages of sin is death. Because Jesus hadn't died then. So the wages of the woman's sin is death. Because Jesus hadn't forgiven sins yet. Then she heard of Jesus. She came, went to her house, and brought very precious, precious ointment. Broke it over the feet of Jesus. Wept over the feet of Jesus. Wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. She was mourning for her sins. And the usual people around who are always judging people. Said, if this man were to be a prophet, he would have known the kind of woman this is. But Jesus was not concerned. And I thank God for Jesus, because he doesn't look at our sins to bless us. Say amen. Yes. If Jesus were to be looking at your sins, you would never be blessed. Because our sins are many. Uti hadins are no. Why quiet? But nyamien kwan unim bonia we di we are here. I would take off very sober and very humble. We thank God for the forgiveness. We are who we are today by the grace of God. We are who we are today by the mercies of God. If the Lord were to punish us by virtue of our sins, none of us will be preaching, none of us will be sitting listening to the preaching. The forgiveness of God, the mercies and the love of God has led us to repentance. And today we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has imputed to us his righteousness. So when God sees you, he doesn't see your righteousness, but he sees the righteousness of Christ in you. That is why you are able to sit in his presence. But there are people who specialize
in bringing your sins into your face. Where the bunny? Why? Where you be kuno? When you be kuno, I call work. Where you wait? I call Dubai and then Krama call it that. Why abortions? Did I tell you the story of this lady who was going to get married and then she ran? I told you the story. She ran to my, this woman. I was going to have a wedding and she came to me, I think 2 weeks to the wedding. Said, Daddy, something is happening to me. So why? He said, Daddy, I'm going to marry this guy. This guy is too decent for me. You see, me deep on the path. I just said, my ye nipa bonny pain. And I pay by me. I don't know why this man wants to marry me. I don't know why this man, my mom was on it. And I haven't told the guy the gravity of my sins. She said, "Be catcher na obe jani." Until I meba be catcher. She na waya o be catcher. No onja mi no kope oba pepe bin worry. Because maybe I know that I'm very very bad. That's what she told me. Be deep on the path. Then by year 9 abortions. And I don't think God will give me a child again. And I deserve it. Because the last child was 5 months. And I took it out. 5 months. So I'm a murderer. He said, I'm a bad girl. He said, when I want to collect you, your husband from you, who cross over from your husband will come to me. He said, me never for me. She said, well, made you could if you say, feel it, Gadochi. What you want to make you could if you say, we are not a son. Yeah, this is what you were telling me. But now, I said, Daddy, massacre. Can't go for Jesus. Tell me, I'm a demon. I say, who preach here? Who preach me? Say, Papa, cry. See me any there. That's the time. They say, Papa, cry me any there. But nigga, cry because they walk out. I say, but I'm preaching the five baby cry. I'm not jamming anyhow because he was telling me. So I should tell the guy that the guy should go away. The guy should leave here alone. So I invited the guy and we all met at my office here upstairs with the girl sitting there. At 2 days later, the guy came and said, I need to see you now. So she came and said, Daddy, what is it? I said, well, nothing. Then she saw the wife. She said, why are you here? I said, oh, it's nothing. The pastor, is something going on? I said, something is going on, but nothing is going on. I have to minimize the shock. I said, what is it? Daddy, tell me. I can take care of, I can handle anything. I said, the woman you are going to marry, no, she said, she doesn't. You don't deserve her. And that she's a bad girl. The guy said, we are all bad. We have all done bad. He said, no. He said, her own is very bad. You see, since we have them in grades, I say, her own is very bad. But Yenyama be brave. She's done this, she's done. I started telling the guy, the wife, and then the last of it is that she's committed 9 abortions. The last one was 4, almost to 5 months. Whatever. She doesn't think God will forgive her enough to give her a child. And you said you want to have 3 children. So she doesn't want to disappoint you. So let's call the marriage off. So you can go and look for a decent Christian. Said there are a lot of decent Christian women in this church. So she was, when I was narrating, the girl was crying. And the guy was crying in my office. And she got up, wrapped her arms around the girl, and told the girl, in spite of all your bad things, I still love you and I want to marry you. Hey, something happened to the girl. The girl fell down in my office and broke into more tears. I was sitting down with tears also in my eyes. What I saw was the love of God to mankind. That's what I saw. The Lord just opened my eyes to see that in spite of our sins, Jesus comes around and wraps his arms around us and said, in spite of all that we have done, he still loves us.
Both of them cried, wept in my presence. I left the room and went to the washroom because the sin was too much for me. The girl cried, and I told the guy that I don't want to say anything again. They should go and they should sort themselves out and come. So they left. I didn't see them until after 4 days. And they said, Daddy, the marriage is coming on. When God decides to help a woman. When God decides to help a woman. Keto, they married right here. And I was the man who, blessed the marriage. And as I speak to you, they have 3 children. When God decides to help you, He does. He will go past your past, your mistakes, your faults, no matter how bad it is. Jesus still can wrap His arms around you and still tell you that I love you. Say amen. So those of you who are standing on the judgment seat, judging people, the person you are judging, God has already forgiven her. Stop judging people. Be careful who you are judging. Be careful about talking. See, you, if you haven't had the opportunity of doing bad, people do bad things for certain reasons. Circumstances. Don't just be a shedder now or hear bad things. I met a certain lady in London after I was preaching in a certain church. And then she came to me and then he said, Reverend, I love your preaching. I love your preaching. I said, yeah, okay. People always tell me that. He said, no. But mine is very special. I said, why do you say that? Then she started telling me things. The things were terrible. I can't talk about them. It was terrible. I went to Tech, the one in Kumasi is called, Tech, to go and do mission. So I was the missioner. I was a missionary or whatever. I was there. Then the guy, the chaplain said, Reverend, the students are saying that the way you are preaching, they want to talk to you. You see, me too. I have my own style of preaching. Everybody and his style. So me too. I went into town, and it was not easy in town. I preach for thousands. Did I go with you? Thousands of students. Thousands. I preach myself happy. So they gave me an office. And then the students came and lined up to talk to me. Counseling, yes. They said they gave me an office. That the students should come and talk to me. Keto. Hey! Oh my God. Oh my God. Francis, I couldn't believe that 14-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old, 20-year-old students. It's horrifying. But I said, do your parents know what you are telling? Said, no, my parents don't know what you are telling me. There are students who travel from Kumasi and go to countries and chill and come back. And their parents will be calling them. You know, their parents don't know that when your passport they took choir could deep on Libya. No. And this is the worst part. I find it so disgusting. One of the students was telling me, how from age 13, the father has been sleeping with her from age 13. She's now 20. And they have committed, I think, 3 or 4 abortions. I said, is he your stepfather? I said, no, my real father, one father, one mother. I mean, real father, the one who gave birth to me. Biological. I said, your father, I want to see your father. I want to see your father. Raping your own daughter. And because that spirit entered into her, now she's in school. The boys in school are chicken feed.
Her mind now goes to elderly men. Her father's age. And according to her, they take her out of campus. They take her out. So many. I said, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? Because what you're telling me is it because I have an 18, I used to have an 18-year-old daughter, 19, 20. So I can imagine my Deborah, my last born, telling me sad things. Something will happen to me. That at that age, the other day I asked my wife a question. I said, my daughter, Deborah, is she still a virgin? I told her, because we don't discuss those things. Jason and Debbie, Jason is 21 and Deborah is 20. So I said, are they virgins in America? Mommy should find out who I'm dealing with. Because I am talking to students who are 19 and 20, and the things they are telling me. Some of them sleeping with dogs. Some of them travel to Jeddah, Qatar at 19. Go and sleep with pit bulls. Dogs. For money. And their parents have no clue. Because when I was preaching and I came to the deliverance was too much. The deliverance was too much. The students were manifesting all over the place. That was why the pastor said, I should do the counseling. Thousands of students. Oh, look, me, I couldn't even handle it. There were too many. Laying out, they were winkling like snakes. Winkling. People's children. Manifesting, rolling. Some of them were having fun, were barking like dogs. The children you have sent to school, because they are into things that are mind-boggling. And you know that in tech, about a certain percentage of the students are outside campus. Oh, it's free for all. Off campus. Yeah. So they are being deceived. They are into drugs. They are into things. They are into porn movies. They shoot movies in the school. In the school, and they put it on social media. And I can imagine my 19-year-old daughter. I fear. It's only God that is keeping the children. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. That is why when they caught the woman in adultery, and they said, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And according to the law of Moses, we should stone this woman to death. And Jesus started writing on the ground. The guy who committed adultery with the girl, the guy has gone free. And the girl has been brought up to be stoned. To be stoned. Jesus wrote on the ground. And the boy said, are you not going to answer us? Jesus said, he who is without sin should be the first to cast the stone. Stop condemning people. Stop judging people. Because you are also with sin. It is by the grace of God that we have dear yemfa 172 mbetuja. Now only ye be you video ah. Anka e be ye hu ofia. E nyamya dum ti re ina ye ti a. Nyanko adum bi ti na. Ye ina ye ti ha ye le ma ye sum nyami dia. Nyami di ye boni a che a ye ko heaven din din din. Come on. Semishenia waya manu tu minka. Meside na mada ninya miasi wona dumbe brebe. Namu tu tafla manu meyi waya. Hey,
awerade yeda wasi ukraye mu so korie ne mba odiye mfusu ache a wanye bibia tunye umo proyo irade yeda wasi.
Say amen. I love that part.
Se me shenya waya manu to meka manu to meka me side na mata me nyamiasi wona dumbe brebe me to nimbi fama no eyi waye empty erade me twite dia me dey me far for ya ma wo na me ye ni a ope a o erade le da wa se o praye mu se for ni de ba
o di am from so a che ye a wanji bibia dunye umo bro yo irati yeta wasi.
I am what I am by the grace of God. So nobody should sit in this auditorium judging somebody else whom Christ has forgiven. Be careful. As you are pointing your finger, four of the fingers are pointing at you. And the sins you are judging your fellow sister about, let's also go into your past. Let's also go into when you were a teenager. Let's go into your school days, your secondary school days, your soupy days, your smoking days, your drinking days. You were hiding and drinking when you were a child. Today, you are a saint in the house of God, and you are judging others. She said, woman, where are thy accusers? John chapter 8. Where are thy accusers? He said, none of them have condemned me. He said, neither do I also condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a God we serve. Well, Jesus knew that what the accusation they have brought against the woman is true. Jesus knew that it was true. But he's not here to condemn sinners, but he was here for sinners to repent. And it's because of repentance that is why you are in church. Say amen. And people, today we are no more, according to the book of Romans, chapter 5 or 6, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are free from sin and death. God bless you for coming. God bless you that there is a God. There is a God that can help a woman.